السلام عليكم. This is the fifth track of chapter one of the book. الشماهل المحمدية والخصائص المصطفوية.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Today inshallah, for those of us who have the نسخة مختصر الشمائل المحمدية by Sheikh Al-Albani, we are supposed to read hadith number 6 from the book. It's a مختصر Sheikh Al-Albani that we have been following. But if you have the مطولة by محققة, that is the extensive presentations and editing by others, but from Sheikh Al-Albani, I think we should be on hadith 7 or hadith 8. That hadith should be by the tahqiq of Sayyid Imran, it is hadith 7. حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع, hadith 7. So, and if we look at that مختصر of Sheikh Al-Albani, hadith is long. It covers about 10 pages. About 10 pages in the مختصر of Sheikh Al-Albani. And it is still مختصر. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And those of us who have his copies, if we look at the end of that hadith, in his footnote number 64, he said something, rahimahullah. He said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْحَدِيثَ كَانَ فِي الْأَصْلِ مُفَرَّقًا. You should be aware that this hadith, كَانَ فِي الْأَصْلِ, in the original script of Imam al-Tirmidhi, which is the one that we have, other than his own مختصر. If you look at the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi itself, where he mentioned all the asanid, perhaps most of what we will have in our hands, he says, rahimahullah, mufarraqan. He says, kana fil asli mufarraqan. The hadith is mufarraq, is cut into pieces in the whole of the book. Fi iddati abwabin bi sanadin wahidin. Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned that hadith in different portions in the book with the same isnad, with the same waqi', with the same isnad of Sufyan ibn Waqi', up to Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Do we understand? This same isnad, which is Imam al-Tirmidhi has mentioned this lengthy hadith, cutting it. So what we have in this Babu Khalqi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a short form of the same hadith. Do we understand? So other aspects of the length of the hadith that Sheikh Al-Albani has, they are contained in other abwab, in the same book, with the same isnad. Do we understand? He says, rahimahullah, he says, فَجَمَعْتُهُ هُنَا فِي سِيَاكٍ وَاحِدٍ. So I have compiled them from the different abwab. I compiled them together, فِي سِيَاكٍ وَاحِدٍ, in a single, presentation. So he presented, instead of we now seeing this hadith in different books, in the different chapters in the book, we see it in one single place in this book. بِجْتِهَادٍ مِنِّي. That is from my own ijtihad, rahimahullah. But after I had done that, after I had combined this hadith like that occurs scattered in the book, I combined it into one single book. رَأَيْتُهُ مُطَابِقًا لِرِوَايَةِ يَعْقُوبِ بْنُ سُفْيَانَ الْفَسَوِي الْحَافِظِ. I found it in line with the riwayah of Al-Imam Ya'qub ibn Sufyan al-Fasawi. Al-Imam al-Fasawi, Imam min al-A'imma. He has a book called Bayan al-Wahm. Al-Jami Bayan al-Wahm. I hope I remember the book properly. Imam al-Fasawi is one of the scholars of Sunnah. So he too has combined the book. He has combined this hadith in the same way that I have combined it. فَإِنَّهُ سَاقَعَ. The Imam al-Fasawi has also presented this hadith مَجْمُوعَةً في سياق واحد, also combining all of it in one single presentation. فيما نقله ابن كثير في البداية, as is cited by Imam Ibn Kathir in البداية والنهاية, meaning that what Sheikh Al-Albani is saying that Imam Al-Fasawi did is something he is quoting from Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Ibn Kathir al-Dimashqi in البداية والنهاية. ثم قال, thereafter, after presenting that hadith with a single expression and presentation in Al-Bidayah, Imam Ibn Kathir said, وَقَدْ رَوَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ بِطُولِهِ, that this hadith has been reported as lengthy as it is by who? Al-Hafiz Ibn Abu Isa Al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Has been reported by Imam Al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah fi Kitab al-Shama'il, in this book Al-Shama'il, referring to this our book that we are in. Ibn Kathir is saying that this hadith has been reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi in al-Shama'il. He said, and Sufyan ibn Waqi' from Sufyan ibn Waqi'. Those of us holding those other scripts, you see that at the beginning of the isnad, it is what? Sufyan ibn Waqi' duna an yushira ila annahu rawahu fihi mufarraq. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah did not say that Imam al-Tirmidhi has reported the hadith in beats, in different parts of the book. Do you understand? He's just saying this report of Fasl, we have also been mentioned in Tirmidhi in Shama'il Muhammadiyah. But if you go to Shama'il, you see it in parts. So Sheikh Al-Albani is like being muwafaq, being granted success and tawfiq by Allah. He did something and then he found out that aside from others have done it, the same thing that he has done. In fact, the work of Imam Fasl and what Imam Ibn Kathir referred to in Al-Bidayah, if you come to Shama'il, you will not see it like that. Because he brought the riwaya complete, but if you come to Shama'il, you see it scattered in bits. Except if you are using the Shama'il of Sheikh Al-Albani. Do you understand? He says, ثُمَّ رَأَيْتُهُ إِنْدَ أَبِي نُعَيْمِ أَيْضًا فِي سِيَاكٍ وَاحِدٍ. Then I also say that Imam Abu Nu'aym has also mentioned the hadith in one single lengthy presentation. Abu Nu'aym, I don't know which of the Abu Nu'aym Sheikh Al-Albani is referring to. It could be Abu Nu'aym Sahib al-Mustakhraj or Abu Nu'aym in Al-Hiliyah, Hiliyatul Awliya, is also by Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym. So perhaps it's referring to Hiliyatul Awliya or it's referring to Al-Mustakhraj al-Sahihin. But I don't think it's Al-Mustakhraj because this hadith does not have any asl in Sahih Muslim. So if he does not have an asl in Sahih Muslim, Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Azhahani could not have made istikhraj. Because the shirt of istikhraj is that he wants to bring the same hadith in Sahih Muslim, but with his own isnad from the shuyukh of Imam Muslim. So since this hadith is not in Sahih Muslim, as we see, the hadith is doif from Jiddan, does not have any asl in Sahih Muslim, I don't think it's referring to Mustakhraj. The nearest thing he could have been referring to is Hiliyat al-Awliya, because Hiliyat has a lot of things inside it, Sahih, Da'if, Maudu, all kinds of things inside it. So perhaps it's referring to Hiliyat al-Awliya. So this will make us not read this hadith from this Mukhtasar of Sheikh Al-Albani. Do we understand? That is the essence of all of what we have been talking. We want to make a mukhalafa of our qa'ida. Our qa'ida is that we are reading from Sheikh Al-Albani's Mukhtasar. But we want to make mukhalafa of that qa'ida. We want to read from another book. So we have to explain why are we doing so. We are doing so because in the riwayah that he has, it is riwayah fi tansikin wahidin. It is a riwayah that has come in one single tansik of all of the hadith. It's about 10 pages, one single hadith. And he is known for that, rahimahullah. Sheikh Al-Albani is known for that. If a hadith occurs in a book in 20 places, you bring all the asanid together. And in fact, he has written some book based on that. His book, Sifatul Hajjatin Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the riwayah of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. If you go to Sahih Muslim, just one single lengthy hadith. He wrote a whole book on that one single hadith, bringing other ziyadat, other wordings that are not in Sahih Muslim, but are in other books of hadith. About the same hadith, he brought them together. He also wrote Khuruj al-Dajjal, Nuzul Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khuruj al-Dajjal. It's based on the same manhaj of bringing all asanid together. If you, unfortunately, in that one, unfortunately, the riwaya al-asliya that he used, the riwaya of Imam Ibn Majah is da'ifa. Is riwaya da'ifa. But he brought it, and every aspect of it, he was bringing riwaya sahiha to authenticate it, and was attaching other riwayat that are sahiha to the kisa of Dajjal and Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. A whole book. So he's used to that, and many of the scholars too are used to that, like Hafiz Ibn Hajar. If you remember when we read the hadith of Sadiq al-Masduq, we were not able to properly understand that hadith until we were able to bring all the riwayah together. So we know what comes first, what comes last, what should. It's known with the scholar of hadith. You bring all the riwayah together. Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was known for that. Abu Huraira will report a hadith. Other Sahabas will report it one by one, two, scattered. When he's reporting it, he puts all the riwayat together. Then Imam Zuhri is known for that. It's one of the evidences of scholarship. So what people have in broken, in pit, in beat, you have it all together. There are many hadiths like this. There's a kisa of Umar and his son, radiallahu anhuma, and the kisa of the divorce of Umar, radiallahu anhu. Ibn Omar, that he was told by his father to divorce his wife. He was telling his father that he loved the wife. He wanted, I said, divorce her. So, and then he divorced her. They took the case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam ordered that Ibn Omar should follow his father, that he should obey Umar radiallahu anhu. So Ibn Omar obeyed his father and then divorced the wife. So this is where you stop in some of the riwayah in Sahih al-Bukhari. But there are other things that came up. You will not see it in all other riwayats. But they are found in other riwayats that when Ibn Umar went and divorced that woman, the woman was menstruating. It was Umar radiallahu anhu who had forced him to divorce the wife in the first place, that went to the Prophet again and said, hey, the boy has divorced his wife when the woman is making menstruation. He does not know how to divorce a woman. So the Prophet said, call him. And then he gave him other instructions. So if you look at that hadith, very lengthy hadith, but you only see it in parts. So the scholars will put it together to make a whole full story. So this is what Sheikh Al-Albani has done here, rahimahullah, because of his imama in the science of hadith. But to make things easy for us, it's easier for us to read the hadith in beats, so that we'll be able to pick it all up together, inshallah. So that to make us come back to the tahqiq of Sayyid Imran. I would like to use the tahqiq of Sayyid Imran because it is the closest to that of Sheikh Al-Albani. In fact, he mentioned in his own Muqaddimah that he is basing his own work on what Sheikh Al-Albani did. You'll be wondering, why are we depending on this? Because, you see, when you depend on authorities in a family, you are less likely to make mistakes. Unfortunately, it's like that in all other fields, but people don't like it to be like that in the issues of Hadith and Sunnah. In all other fields, you always depend on the authorities in that field. You use them as the index. If you want to know whether you are right or wrong, it is based on their standards. You say, who standardized it? According to the standards of. We even have things in log books, different log books, index works and all of these standards that authorities have made in the field. So if you want to know whether you are right, you start comparing them. In well log analysis, if you make a well log analysis, sorry, I'm a geologist by profession. If you make a well log analysis, there are standards that they have done in the analysis of the well log. You follow what these standards are. In fact, if you plot some graphs, you have to align it. They have even plotted some graphs that are standards for you to know what to derive from that well. So, but in the sciences of Islam, when you say the scholars of Fun, the authorities in the fun say this, because they know, why are you depending on social things? So no, they are the authorities in the field. They are the authorities in the field. So the reason why we are saying that, okay, we are reading this tahqiq of Sayyid Imran is because he's the one that has dependent on the imam of the fun, the imam of the science in our times, that is agreed upon by the scholars of Sunnah. So don't be surprised, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Abdullah bin Baz was asked this question. After the hadith of Mujaddid was read to him, we know the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud that Allah will raise at the peak of every 100 years someone who will revive the deen and the sunnah of Allah on the earth. He was asked, who is that person? He says, he does not know any person who fits that except Sheikh Al-Albani. Sheikh Dunbar said that. Rahimahullah. And nobody knows an authority except an authority himself. So that's why we are depending on it. Rahimahullah. So that hadith is the seventh hadith in this tahqiq of Sayyid Imran. He said, حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا جميع ابن أمير ابن عبد الرحمن العجلي. سفيان بن وكيع is a trustworthy scholar of hadith. It's from the teachers of Imam al-Tirmidhi. And this hadith, he reported it from جميع ابن أمير. جميع ابن أمير is mentioned to be a weak reporter of hadith, da'if. In fact, some of the scholars of hadith made ittiham of him, muttahamun bil kazib. Ittiham, when they make ittiham, we've explained this previously, that it does not mean that he's accused of lying. He lies, actually. But the difference between muttahamun bil kazib and kazzab is that kazzab fabricates the ahadith of Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. Muttahamun bil kazib lies in his daily affairs, but he does not fabricate ahadith of Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. So some of the scholars even say that Jumay is muttahamun bil kazib. But what Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar mentioned of him is that he is da'if. Sheikh Al-Albani also said that he is da'if. He now said even some of the scholars even mentioned him to be muttahamun bil kazib. So that is him. So when he reported this hadith, he said imla'an alayna, izhal. Why he was reporting? You had haddathahum imla'an. He was dictating the hadith to them. When Jumay reported to Sufyan ibn Waqi, he did that in a dictation. Min kitabihi, from his book. It was from the practice of the scholars of hadith. When they report a hadith, they dictate from their books. They could have still had the hadith in their heads, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Many times he will report a hadith from his book, but he has it in his head already. But you know, when you read from a book, you have something in your mind, you are less prone to errors. So he dictated the book, the hadith, this hadith to them from his book. And by the time you read the hadith, you know, you really actually needed to dictate it from his book, even when he's a weak reporter of hadith. So he said, أخبرني رجل من بني تميم, a man from Banu Tamim, min waladi Abi Hala, from the children of Abu Hala. Who is Abu Hala? Zawji Khadija, the husband of Khadija. It's our Khadija, Ummul Mu'minin, radiallahu anhu. That man, Yukanna Aba Abdullah. His kunya is Abu Abdullah. So he is Abu Abdullah ibn Abi Hala At-Tamimi. He is Abu Abdullah ibn Abi Hala At-Tamimi. He's from Banu Tamim. All of that is describing him. But ulama say ismuhu Yazid ibn Umar. His real name is Yazid ibn Umar. Abu Hala is mentioned to be the first husband of Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Abu Hala. And the ulama say, I'm saying the ulama say because that is what I have read. In most of it, you will not find asanid that proves these things. So I'm just saying as they have said. Because these matters, or more so, the matters around the marriage of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the details of it are not contained in any authentic hadith. The details of the marriage of Khadija bint Khuwaylid with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even before her marriage to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not contained in any authentic hadith. Most of what you find are wahiya. If you read As-Sirah an-Nabawiyyah Sahiha by Diyya al-Akram, you see there. He mentioned it. Others too have mentioned it. So most of what you see about her marriage before she met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not authentic. Even this now, if you like to depend on this kind of a narration, it is not an authentic narration. You see, the hadith is very punjidan. So you cannot rely on it to start saying that she was. But let's see what they have said. So this hadith was reported from Abu Abdullah At-Tamimi, the son of Abu Hala, Zawji, the husband of Khadija. Abu Hala was said to be the first husband of Khadija bint Khuwaylid. His real name is Abu Hala, or as it is mentioned, is Abu Hala ibn Zurara at-Tamimi. Abu Hala ibn Zurara at-Tamimi. He said she was married to him in the days of Jahiliyyah, and that she had two children for him. The first one is Hind, and the second one is Hala. Hala and Hind. So Abu Hala had Hala and Hind with Khadija, or Khadija had Hala and Hind with Abu Hala. We'll still come back to this because of the statement of Hassan. So it means that Fatima radiallahu anha, who is the daughter of Khadija, Fatima Zahra, the daughter of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, is the sister to Abu Hala, to Abu Hala's son, Hind and Hala. So Hind and Hala are the brothers to Fatima radiallahu anha. So you know Fatima radiallahu anha is the mother of Al-Hasan. So the children of Abu Hala, Hind and Hala are the uncles of Hassan from their mother. So in Arabic you say they are their what? Khal. So Abu Abdullah at-Tamimi was reporting from an ibn Abi Hala. Aha. Is reporting from one of the children of Abu Hala. But he didn't mention whose name. What's the name? Anil Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhum. So that one is reporting from Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhum. We know Hassan radiallahu anhum, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib from Fatima radiallahu anhum. Is the one regarding the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that inna ibni hadha sayyidun wa la'alla Allah an yusliha bihi bayna ta'ifataini azimataini min al-muslimin. This my son is a sayyid, an honorable young man. Perhaps Allah will use him to bring peace between two great warring factions amongst the Muslims. Now remember that when Ali radiallahu anhu was killed, and he was made the radiallahu anhu was made the next Khalifa, after about 6 months, a lot of correspondence went between himself and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and then Al-Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib handed over the Khilafah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan in Kufa, and then he returned to Medina. He lived in Medina until he died. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, he never intervened in any of the matters. So radiallahu anhu. So Hassan said, Sa'altu Khali, aha. So I asked my uncle. So you can understand now. Hind ibn Abi Hala. Hind ibn Abi Hala. That is his uncle from his mother's side, from Fatima. Who are the Hind is the brother of Fatima from his mother Khadija, who had that Hind according to this report from Abu Hala. See, Wakana was Safan. So these Hind was one who was used to mentioning the attributes and the descriptions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to say that. So I asked him, an hilyati nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is, I asked him, an hayati wa shakli rasul. How was the rasul? Tell me about the Prophet. Don't forget that this hadith is weak. It's a weak hadith. It's a weak hadith. We say that Junay ibn Umayr is daifu jiddan ko. And even Yazid ibn Umar himself, Abu Abdullah, you know who Yazid ibn Umar is? Abu Abdullah ibn Abi Hala. You remember? This Abu Abdullah at-Tamimi ibn Abi Hala himself is majhud. He is not known. But his Jahala appears to be that of his hal. There is not mentioned with any statement of tawfiq or tajrih. He's not mentioned to be an authentic reporter, and he's not also mentioned to be a weak reporter. He's just mentioned like that. So we don't know who he is in terms of depending on his reports. And you can't depend on a person's report until you know who he is. I think this explanation suffices on the matter of Jahala, inshallah. So it has a majhul al-hal, and then it has a rajulun da'ifun bal muttahamun bil kazb. That's why Sheikh Al-Albani said that the hadith is what? Da'ifu jinda. So put it at the back of your mind. All of what we are reading about the hadith is not authentic, except what other authentic hadith prove from it that is authentic. And as we go along, if we remember anything, we'll mention it, inshallah. But the reason why we are reading it is that if we are reading Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, cool. So whatever comes to me to read it alone. If we had said at the beginning is that no, you only read authentic hadith from Shama'il, then we will not read this hadith. But we didn't say that from the beginning. So we read the hadith inshallah. He says, I used to ask him about the attributes, the physical attributes of the Prophet Muhammad. وَأَنَا أَشْتَهِي أَنْ يَصِفَ لِيَ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا أَتَعَلَّكُ بِهِ أَشْتَهِي I desire أَنْ يَصِفَ لِيَ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا that he describes some things for me from the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم أَتَعَلَّكُ بِهِ so that I hold on firmly to them. Don't forget that these things are not authentic. We are just reading them. It's very, very important. So what did he say? He said, فَقَالَ So who was saying? Hind ibn Abi Hala was describing to who? Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Cool? That kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fahman mufakhaman. So kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is fahman, is a man of great haiba, is a man of great. If you see him, he's fahman. He's in his look, alayhi salatu wasalam, he asserts authority in his look. Because he's been described with his head, that his head is full, he's thickly bearded, his chest is wide, and all of those descriptions. So when you see him, you have some reverence for him. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is one who's, when you see him, you have reverence for him. He is actually looking as somebody you must revere. He commands respect and authority. I think that's a better way of saying that. His look will order you, will make you, that's why I ask that. He is what? Fahman Mufahaman. Actually, in the minds of people, he's also great. His physical look commands respect and he is respected by the people. He is Fahman in his look. Mufahaman. In the mind of people also, he is respected. His look commands respect from the people. Alayhi salatu. This is a weak hadith. Don't forget. Yatala'la'u wajhuhu tala'lu al-qamari laylat al-badr. Yatala'la'u wajhuhu. His face is bright. It shines. Tala'lu al-qamari laylat al-badr. In the manner that the moon is bright in the evenings of the, you know, 13th, 14th, and 15th. When the moon, in the times of the full moon, the way the moon is bright, that is the way his face is bright. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Even when there is something, an authentic hadith that proves this, we read the hadith next, but we have to quickly go around this hadith. It's a very lengthy hadith. So we will not go much about trying to prove what is authentic from this hadith. We will still read the hadith. But because one of that companion, Jabir ibn Samra, he says in his own case that his face is ahsanu min qamari laylatil badr. That is, in the Prophet's face, alayhi salatu wasalam, is even more beautiful and more bright and shining than the moon when it is, and it is full, during the full moon. His face is even brighter than that. So that's in an authentic hadith. So, but here it says, يَتَلَعْلَأُ وَجْهُهُ تَلَعْلُوا الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ So his face shines and brightens the way the moon shines and is bright in the night of a full moon. It says, أَطْوَلَ مِنَ الْمَرْبُوعِ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is taller than a person that is marbu. Don't forget that, you know the meaning of marbu'an. يعني ليس بطويل البائن ولا القصير المتردد. So he is أطول من المربوع. He is taller than saying that he is middle height. Don't forget, he also said that وهو إلى الطول أقرب. He is nearer to be described as being tall. Perhaps this is what this weak reporter means here, that he is reporting it in this way. So he is أطول من المربوع. He is taller than a middle height person. وأقصر من المشذبين is also shorter than a طويل البائن. So you can see the rakaka. This is one of the things to know weak hadith. Look at when authentic reporters reported the hadith. You see, وليس بالطويل البائن.
ولا بالقصير المترجل. But when he is funny, he say, you are sawa, look at marbu wa akusaru min al mushazzab. Rakaka and repetitions come up in the reports of weak narrators, because they heard something that appears like they still remember it, so, but they are not able to remember it, recollect it properly, so they mix it up with their own words. So, but when authentic reporters report, you see the sort, you see the sequence and the manner of presentation in it. So you can see it going front and backwards in it. So he said that he is Azim al-Hama, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Hama is his ra'as, that his head is full. Don't forget, we read in an authentic hadith that it's what Dokmur ra'as. That one is authentic in an authentic hadith. If you don't say Dokmur ra'as, say Azim al-Hama. So he is Rajila Sha'ar. You know what the meaning of Rajila? Or Rajla? Or Raju? I'm sure we still remember these words. That is, his hair is not so thick and coiled. It's not so, you know, extended. The is in between the two. And هو ليس بالجعد القطط ولا بالصبت. You remember that. So that's what he's still saying here. That hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن فرقت عقيقته فرقها. That is akiko here, it's not akiko of a child, an animal that is slaughtered when a child is 7 days old or 14 days old or something. That's not the akiko. The akiko is the hairs on his forehead. So he said, in infarakot akikotuhu farakoha. If he, for whatever reason, his hairs get fark, that is, they get separated, farakoha, he leaves it like that. يَتْرُكُهَا أَلَنْ فِرَاقِهَا. If his hair just gets, you know, scattered, you know, the white people with a lot of hair, when there is wind, as we have, their hairs open up. So he leaves it like that. This hadith is weak, don't forget. He says, وَإِلَّا. If it were not that his hair gets opened up, separated, فَلَا يُجَاوِزُ شَعْرُهُ Shahmata uvunehi. His hair does not go lower than his what? Earlobes. Don't forget. So yes, his hair is al Jumma. This is Jumma that it is describing. But don't forget that his Jumma, this is Nam, this is Wafur now that he's describing. But in his way, most of his hairs are around his earlobes, but he has hairs that go down and touch his shoulder. Do you understand? So it means that if his hair is well packed and well combed, they don't usually go below the earlobes. So even if they are well combed and all that, they don't go below the ear. It means also that when they are exposed for whatever is maybe breeze or something, they could go below that. You know, they could get scattered and then, you know, go below the earlobes. It says, wa illa, that is, if they are not scattered, فَلَا يُجَاوِزُ شَعْرُهُ شَحْمَةَ أُذْنَيْهِ. If they are not scattered, his ears does not go below his earlobes. يعني, إِذَا هُوَ وَفَّرَهُ. At the time he makes their tawfir, he gathers them together and combs them, puts them together. The ears does not go below the earlobes. This is a weak hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is also what? Azhar al-Lawn. We mentioned it. In other riwaya, they say it was what? Asmar al-Lawn. So we know that. Wasi al-Jabin. Jabin, this is the Jabin. The forehead. Wasi. So somebody who has a Dakhmur Ra'as is also likely to have wasful in his Jabin. The third is also, alayhi salatu wasalam, Azaj al-Hawajib. That his hawajib is azaj, that is tawil kasir. They are long, his eyebrows are long and mankus, that is, they are curved and they are kasir. Tawil kasir mankus. They are tall and they are bulky, thick. And then they are curved. That's the essence of the hawajib. The hawajib is the brows, the eyebrows. He said, Sawabigha fi ghayri qaranin. He said, they are sawabid, they are lengthy, they are almost connecting themselves. Fi ghayri qaranin, but they are not connected. Sawabig, they are much, thick, long, as he described in Azajjul Hawajib, but fi ghayri qaranin, they are not connected. As long as they are and as thick as they are. This hadith is weak. Bainahuma, between the two hajibain, the two eyebrows, irkun is a what? A nerve, a vein. Yudirruhu al-ghadab. When he is annoyed, the vein stands up. Look at that kind of person that is kind. He has one big vein here between his two eyebrows. When he's annoyed, the vein stands up. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a weak hadith. The Prophet is not described like that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's an authentic narration. So it says further that aqna al-irnain, that he is from there now is describing his nose. The arnain are the two, these two extensions branching off from our nostrils. So they are akna, they are long from their beginning, and their curve is very nice. They are well curved. They come from above, and they are well curved. Says lahu nurun, that nose, that part of his face has a light, like a shining. يَحْسِبُهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَأَمَّلْهُ أَشَّمُ. Whoever has not really thought about it, about that nose, will think that he has a bulky, that the middle of his nose here is protruding, because there is a light, there's a lot of reflection coming from that part of the face. If you don't think and look at it very well, you think that he has a nostril at the middle of his nose that is what? Protruding outside. You know, reflection of light makes you think that the thing is nearer to you. So he's described again, after talking about his nose and all that. Say, Kassal Lihya, that his Lihya, his beard is valid, is thick. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahal al Khadain. Sahal al Khadain, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has khad cheeks. That are sahal, that are sa'il. They are smooth. You know, people have cheeks that are bulging out like this. But his own cheek is not bulging out. They are smooth. So they call it what? Sahal al-Khaddain. This hadith is weak. Don't forget. They say he is Dali al-Fam. Someone who is Dali al-Fam, Dali, he has extensive, wide mouth. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It was said that Arabs like a person like that. Arabs don't like a mouth, a small mouth. Somebody has a mouth that is small. You will hardly be looking for the lips. Where do you be finding, where does his statements come out from? So they describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has his lips like that. Daqiq al-masruba. We know what the masruba is. That is the hair that comes, runs from the chest to the navels. They say it is daqiq, it is light, tender. Ka'anna unuqahu, is finished talking about his masruba now. He's talking about his neck now. So ka'anna unuqahu jidu, his neck is as nice, like dumyatin fi safa il fibba. A dumya is ivory, the material, or a pearl, something that's valuable, from a, like a gemstone. But this word actually, a dumya, is employed for the ivory. You know, if you look at the dentition of an elephant, it has something looking like gray, but closer to the whitish kind of color. So that is how it looks in its niceness. Lakin, it is bright. in the brightness of silver. So it means it's describing his neck with beauty. It's, you know, whitish in terms of, don't forget, it's what, asmarulon. And then at the same time, it's describing it with some beauty of brightness, that it is like, you know, the whiteness of the teeth of an elephant, so to speak, but that has the brightness of what? Silver. They say that alayhi salatu wasalam, he is mu'tadil al-khalqi. This one is correct. Everything about him is middle course. He's not too tall, he's not too short. He's not black, he's not white. He's not green, he's not yellow. He's not this. Yes. Mu'tadil al-khalqi. That's one. Secondly, is that he has no blemish on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does not have any physical blemish on him. This is also correct. Now, so he's mu'tadil al-khalq. In his khalq, in his physical attributes, everything is as it should be. Ah, this one says badinun. Someone who is badun is meaty. Someone who is bulky is meaty. And we, in another weak narration we read last week, it says he's not weak, he's not meaty, he's not an obese. But here he's saying that it's meaty. It's another word for being obese. It's a weak narration. That's how weak reports are. They go forth and backward. So he is badinun, mutamasikun. Yeah, it's mutaroddit. It's as if an aspect of his bones are connected together. You know, like when you put something, a rod into another rod. But it was not like that. As described in authentic narrations. Alayhi salatu. Here they say again, they say his sawa'ul batni wa sadr. His chest, bottom first, his stomach and his chest are sawa. So he does not have a bald chest and a flattened stomach, nor a protruded stomach and a flattened chest. It says again that he is aribu sadr, that is wide chest. The width of his chest is wide. Ba'idu ma bayn al mankibayn. This is also aridu sadr. That in between his shoulders is wide. He's broad chested. Aridu sadr. Ba'idu ma bayn al mankibayn. So it said again that it's what? Dakhmul karadis. Don't forget what karadis is. The joints of the bone. Cool? So this is correct. It's in an authentic hadith. We've read that hadith. That is Dakhmul karadis. His shoulder, his elbow, his wrist, and other joints in his body, they are what? They are thick. They are bony. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So it says again that he is Anwarul Mutajarrad. Anwarul Mutajarrad. Is a tajarrada. Any, wherever he removes his clothes from his body is shining. Or any part of his body that has no hairs. His tajarrud has two things around it. The aspects of his body that has no hairs, and the aspects of his body that he exposes. If he exposes any part of his body without hairs, it is what? Anwar. It is what? Very bright. موصول ما بين اللبة والسرة بشعر يجري كالخط. It's a موصول ما بين اللبة والسرة بشعر. What is in between his labba? The labba is the depression in the neck at the upper part of the chest. So ما بين اللبة والسرة, between that point and his navel, is connected, mausul, bisha'arin, by what? By the hair. What is the name of that hair? Masruba. Yajri kalkhat. It goes like a straight line. Don't forget, hadithun da'if. It will be going front and going backwards. He had told us about the kikul masruba. He's coming to tell us about ma'bain al-labbati wa surah again. So it continues, it says, ariyat sadiyain. His two, you know, his breast on his chest, Ari, they don't have hairs. How is that? Ari Yassadiyah. His two breasts, there are no hairs on it. Wal bottom. And his stomach too, there are no hairs on it. So how is the masruba? Where do we have the masruba coming from? Do we understand? Don't forget that one of the reporters, what's his name? Jumay ibn Umayr. It's even mentioned to be Mustaham bil Kazib. So you will hear, they will have reports. They would have heard the reports. But they will not be able to remember it properly. So they will be fixing their own words. Fix what they want there. So you could see all of the reports like that and like that. So he says, Arias Sadiyain, his two breasts and his bottom, they don't have hairs. Mimma Siwa Zalik. That is, which are exceptions to Zalik Ma Bayna Labbati Wa Surra. So what he's saying here is that, apart from the Masruba, any other part of his chest or his stomach does not have a hairs. Do you understand? So it says again that he is Ash'aru Zira'ain, that is Wal Mankibain Wa A'ali Sadr, that the Prophet has a lot of hairs on his Zira'ain, his two arms. He has hairs there. Wal Mankibain, and his two shoulders. Wa A'ali Sadr, and the upper part of his chest. A lot of confusion. So it says again that he is tawilat zandain. Zand is the wrist, the connection between the bone, the forearms bone, and the palm. There's a bone there, the wrist bone, is it? It's just a little like coming up a little bit. So that is the zand, tawilat zandain. So it says also that he is rahbar raha. But by that, it means he is rahbar raha wasil kafain. His palms are wide. Shafnul kafain wal qadamain. You see, this one is from authentic hadith. Shafnul kafain, his fingers of his palms and his qadamain are shafn, they are thick. We mentioned it in an authentic hadith. Together with lean, they are thick and soft and nice. So it says again that sa'il al-atraf, that is, in, they say, aw qala sha'ilul atraf. Do we have that in our own report? Aw qala sha'il. What is correct is sa'ilul atraf. That is, his fingers are sa'il, they are long. Long fingers. They are thick, fleshy and long. That's what this narration is reporting. Khumsanul Akhmusain. Khumsanul Akhmusain. The Akhmus are the hollow side of our feet. Look at your legs when you walk. There is part of your leg that does not touch the ground. Under. That's where those who have flesh, they are called what, flat-footed people. They are not taken in the army because they have less stability. You know, area, surface area is a function of pressure. So those who have lesser, you know, surface area to put on the ground, they are more stable on the ground than those who have all of their feet on the ground. So that's why they don't take them in the army. It has an inverse relationship with prayer. So what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is akhmus, is khums. That is, his the hollow side of his leg is well shown. They are clearly shown that he's not a flat-footed person. If he's walking, see, he's not a flat-footed person. If you look at it, they are deep inside. They are hollow, well hollowed. This not contain an authentic hadith to my knowledge. But I know the Prophet is not flat-footed because he's never been described as being flat-footed. And if you look at the way his movement is described, that's not usually the movement of flat-footed people. Flat-footed people are hardly able to really move. And don't forget that flat-footedness is a defect, and the Prophet does not have any defects. So that's why I said what I said. This report also says he is Masih al-Qadamain. Masih is mas from mas, you know, mas, something that is smooth, flat. So his two legs are flat. That is, his legs are smooth. There are no hip ups, 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 ups here and there. Some of the people, if you look at their leg, their legs, parts of it are eating up like that, you know, because of hamatan, because of anything, who kinds of leg, you know. No. So this report says his own leg is smooth, such that yambu anhum alma. If it puts water on it, water flows on his leg. If the leg is, you know, filled with contours, the water will not flow. So it says yambu anhum alma. If it pours water on his leg, it is flowing. This is a weak hadith, don't forget. So we are just reading it. Iza zala, zala qal'an. When he moves, we mentioned that qal. When he moves raising his legs. He does not move sluggish, he raises his legs on the ground. Yaqtu takaf, takai, how is it written in your room? Aywa, mutakafiyan. Yaqtu takafiyan. So he moves with takafu. We describe that like the sheep moves. Wayamshi hauna. Aha, this is correct. Yamshi haunan. He moves with sakinatu wal waqar wa khashyatillah. He moves calmly with sakina and, you know, tranquility, fearing Allah. Why do we say this one is correct? Because it's from the attributes of Ibadur Rahman. Allazina yamshuna ala al-ardi hauna. He is the Sayyid of Ibadur Rahman. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So if there's any human being that yamshi ala al-ardi hauna, the Prophet is his leader. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Zari'ul mishya. Zari, just put sari'a there. But this one he moves, it's not sluggish. He moves and goes ahead. It's from takaffa'a takaffu'an. Cool. Iza masha, that is when he moves. Ka'annama yanhattu min sabadin, as if he is descending a slope. Wa iza irtafata, irtafata ma'an, yani kulliyan. When he turns completely. Khafidat tarf, his eyes, his looks are gentle. He's not looking, you know, some of the people, when you look at their face, you don't want to look at them again. The way their eyes are. In an adage, they say, as if he put a cigarette in his eyes, it will light. His looks are not gentle. But in his own case, as is reported here, in Khafid al-Tarf, he is easy to look at, gentle at look. Ah, nazaruhu ila al-ardi atwalu min nazarihi ila al-sama. That the way the Prophet is always looking at the ground is far longer than he is looking up. Don't be looking on the ground. When you look, look. Walk straight. This hadith is weak. The Prophet is not alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at all of his attributes, he does not do a thing that you now say he looks ground. No, you will not be able to say that about him. And at the same time, you will not be able to say he's always looking up like this. How can a man be looking up and be walking? Do you want his looking up to be more than his walking? Yes, the times that he looks up, and that makes us understand that, yes, he really does not look up all the time, because it's abnormal. When he is making dua, and he's so filled, he wants the dua to be answered, he looks up. So if he were looking up all the time, he will not be said that he will look up when the dua is, you know, something pressing that he wants. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That's permissible for us too. And he will raise his hand such that his armpits are seen. These ones are contained in authentic narrations. The same way, you can't say that he's a man that's always looking on the ground. It would have been mentioned to us. وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ does not look that look on the ground. Go and look at Kutubu Tafasir. That يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ means that they should not even close their eyes. Neither should they walk on the ground. They should keep in between. They should make kafsul nazar anil muharramat. That is the meaning of ghadul basar. It doesn't mean close your eyes. Neither does it mean look on the ground. It means remove your eyes from things that are prohibited. You see, that's why the first look at something that is prohibited is permissible for you. you are not taking for it. So once you see, you remove your eyes from me. This is what the Lubasan. It doesn't mean that you never see something you are displeased with. So that's no evidence to say close your eyes as you walk on the street. It could be very dangerous. Our religion is not like that. So it says, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nazaruhu ila al-ard, he's looking on the ground. Atwalu min nazarihi ila sama. If a tabligh man reads this, you see Allah Akbar. The next time you see him on the road, he's looking on the ground like this. This is a weak narration, you don't depend on it. It says that jullu nazarihi al-mulahaza. Most of his looks are mulahaza. Mulahaza is when a man looks you from the side of his eyes. Jullu nazarihi al-mulahaza. So the Prophet is always looking inside you. No! Alayhi salatu wasalam. Anything that is abnormal in people is not found in him. Anything that's abnormal, when you just see a man that this man is always opening his mouth, know that the Prophet is not always opening his mouth. The man is always raising his hand up. Know that he's not like that. Anything that is abnormal among people, he is not like that. Say Idul Bashar. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That is Jullu Nazarihi al Mulahaza. Mulahaza is somebody looking at you with the side of his eyes. If it's Jullu Nazarihi al Mulahaza, when Kaab ibn Malik came into the masjid, why is this? It was Kaab that was even saying that he was looking at the Prophet Mulahaza. He was watching the Prophet that will he look at me? He said, he didn't look at me. When the Prophet was some angry with those companions who stayed behind in Ghazwat al-Tabuk. If he was always looking with sideways, Kaab ibn Malik would have seen him. Jullu Nazarihi al Mulahaza. This weak hadith. Yasuq ashabahu aha. He used to put his companions in front and walk behind them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Who amongst the prophets, amongst the companions who walk in front of the Prophet salatu wasalam? Except you say they walk at the same pace with him. But to deliberately like you, what can they go for front? Are they come for back? No. The Prophet is not like that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. But some of the companions understood from Hujrat, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. What's the beginning of Hujrat? That it means they should not go in front of him. Some of the past predecessors understood that verse to be like that. So why will he now push them in front and he is coming from behind them? So these things are really strange. It says that wa yabduru man lakiya bisalam. Yabduru man lakiya. In tahqiq, Sayyid Imran says that it is yabda'u. In your own report, what do you have? Yabda'u. Aha, that is the correct thing. But in this nuskha that we have, it says yabduru. So, but in the Hamish, it says what is correct is what? Yabda'u. So yabda'u man lakiya bisalam. He starts by saying salam to whomever he meets, money of any person he meets. So the Prophet is walking alayhi salatu wasalam. Salam alaikum. Salam alaikum. Salam alaikum. So this narration is a weak narration and it should not be depended on in any way. We have just read it to us because this is from the hadith in Ash-Shamail of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi or Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. It may come to our mind that why are we always saying hadith is weak? Is it not hadith? I'm sure most of us will not have that in our mind. But recently someone was telling me, asking me a question on the phone, was saying that somebody quoted a hadith. And he said, the person said, he told that person that the hadith is weak. The person said, the whole hadith, is hadith can be weak? Yes, hadith can be weak. The amount of tabligh, they are used to saying things like this. Can a hadith be weak? Somebody, something, you know, hadith is kullu ma udifa ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every of what is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in calling or feeling or takririn or wafsin or khalkin or khulukin. So it can't be weak because it is attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, bi'idhnillah, perhaps we'll read to us some of the comments of the scholars of hadith about not depending on weak ahadith, because that is the most authentic from the position of the scholars. That it is not permitted at all to depend on weak ahadith. From the evils of that, let's just take one of these. From the evils of depending on a weak hadith is that you are ascribing to Allah and His Messenger what Allah and His Messenger have not said. You are ascribing to Allah what Allah has not said. You are ascribing to the Messenger what He has not said. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is not like this, you are saying that he is like that. He is not what he is not what you are telling that he is. So it is from istira ala Allah al-kazib, saying about Allah what is false. So we read to us some hadith. Yes, some scholars say you can use hadith, weak hadith in fada'il, that is to encourage people on good deeds. But that position is a weak, wrong position. It's a very weak position. So say weak hadith. A hadith is weak. You can use it in some aspects. It's a weak statement itself. It's as weak as the hadith that they are depending upon. So we'll stop here inshallah, because we've mentioned a lot of strange things here, so that we do not clog us up with another round of taking us around things that will contain our minds again. Just know that this hadith we have read is weak. We have just read it to satisfy our conditions of reading the book. Inshallah, next week, before we go on reading the other hadith, we will establish why we have been repeating that don't depend on weak hadith, don't depend on weak hadith, don't depend on weak hadith. We will mention a few things about that, and we read the rest of the hadith, inshallah, that is contained in the Bab. Most of them are very short, brief hadiths, and I'm sure most of the words that we'll find in it are words that we had read past. And some of them too may be weak hadiths. If it's a weak hadith, we'll just read it and go ahead and not spend the time on that, inshallah. It may also come to the mind that, so if it's weak hadith, why did Imam Tirmidhi put it here? Rahimahullah. Why did he put it in Ash-Shamai? Well, what he said he is doing here, he told us at the beginning of this bab, is ma ja'a fi khalqi rasul, what has been reported regarding it. So from what has been reported is something that is weak. So he's telling you to be honest that this weak hadith has also been reported though. So you can say, okay, but Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah did not say that the hadith is weak. I say he has already told you that the hadith is weak. You are the one who does not know that the hadith is weak. But he's mentioning the isnad, that this hadith is from Junayr ibn Umayr and from the riwayah of Abu Abdullah Tamimi ibn Abi Hala. He has already told you that it is weak. If the muhaddith is telling you an isnad of a hadith, he is already giving you the ruling of the hadith. You are the one whether you know it or you don't know it. So that's why the one who is not bringing the asanid, like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, the first thing he quickly did is tell us that the hadith is what? Da'ifu jiddan, before you go ahead. Just like Imam Tirmidhi told you about the hadith before he went ahead to tell you about the hadith. But his condition for compiling the book is that he wants to tell you what has been reported regarding so thing. So whether that thing is fabricated or not is another thing, but it has been reported. So Dashinam. So that's what he is doing in this book. And many scholars have done that in the past. Many. When they report a hadith, once they give you the isnad of that hadith, don't be asking for it. They didn't say that the hadith is weak or sahih. They have told you are the one who does not know. So you start looking for somebody who can help you verify the chain of transmission. You start with this hadith. They say it is Hadassana Sufyan ibn Wakir and Humayd ibn Fulan al-Barzakawi. Please, is it sahih or not? So if the person is able to just look at it and tell you that this is not is sahih, he will tell you. If it's okay, leave it, I'll work on it and I'll tell you the afternoon. It's also the same thing. The person who is working on it tomorrow, today inshallah, tomorrow will become somebody who, when he looks at it, he will tell you it's not the sahih or it's not the sahih. Sheikh Al-Albani, that's why he did most of his works. He'll sit down and start giving hukum on it. Because the brain is filled up with ahwal-ul-rija, tirija, jarha wa ta'dila, wa ilal al-hadith, wa fiqh al-hadith. All their brains is filled with things like this. So when they are looking at it, they know that there is a problem with it. The same thing, when they are looking at the hadith that is a wonderful isnad, once they read it, they are knowing already. Don't wonder. The same way a carpenter is looking at a wood, say, this wood has problems. You may not know because you don't know the job. But because it is his own job, that's why Imam Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he said, إِلَّا لَلْحَدِيثِ كَالسِّحْرِ إِنْدَ زَيْرِنَا. The defects in a hadith, when they look at it, say, this hadith has a problem. But to you, looking at it is like magic. You just look at it and say, hadith has problem. So the same way, if a doctor is looking at you, once you say, I have headache, You are pregnant, you have headache, your body is shaking. He knows what is wrong with you. You cannot say, but I used to sleep, I used not to sleep, I used to dream, I used not to dream. He will just be laughing at you. He knows the problem already. But you who don't know, or the person who went with the sick person, say, ah, is this Dr. Matthew? He's now start writing paracetamol and is it paracetamol? I want something bigger. Say, no, it's paracetamol because of so reason. But if he does not explain to you, you'll be thinking, how did he take Saviam? He's been learning it for years. They spend 7 years, 2 years, 3 years, about from 11 to 12 years. A doctor should be able to say that. Muhadisun spend more. There you are. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, if you see Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, he finished that book 40 years before the first edition was published. 40 years. It's in the Muqaddima of the one in Sunan al-Nasa'i. 40 years. He had finished working on it. For 40 years, he was looking at it and looking at it again. And looking at it again before he now says, see, Sahih Sunan Abu Dawud. See, Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i. 40 years. Not 40 years of sleeping and waking up. 40 years of research. Not remove the years of the time that he did the work itself. After finishing the work, he kept it somewhere. You'll be coming to look at it like that for 40 years. How is that? So you say, you look at his life, you say, no, this hadith has problem. He has problem. Whether you know that problem or not. So somebody will come say, why Albani? Hey, if they tell you what he did, you will keep quiet. Except if you don't have respect for knowledge. Yes. And people like that are soon disgraced by the knowledge itself. You know knowledge disgraces? Knowledge disgraces people now. Knowledge is to disgrace people. When you don't respect it. If you don't respect it, it will disgrace you. And that's what you have seen in the generation. Once you start asking, who is that Albani you see now? You start making statements that people who know you start saying, ah, that's not what you are supposed to do. You start looking foolish. I'm telling you, the same thing people like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, Imam al-Zahabi, Ibn Kathir. Once you start asking, who are these? What are you? You will soon see now how you will fail. You will fall flat. So these are the a'imma. In the every generation, Allah will raise a person that will be like that. Up till today, we are still battling with the ulum of Sheikh Al-Albani. We are still battling with his knowledge till today. Maybe that's why Allah has not raised another one from amongst the people. I asked one of his students, Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman, Hafizahullah, that from all of you, because many of them are doing wonderful works now. He made a tahqiq, it's in Al-Kafi, in when he was talking about Adabu Talib al-Hadith. He made a tahqiq on a book on Imla in 11 volumes. Sheikh Mashur. So at the end he says, Alhamdulillah, lazi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. 11 volumes, a book on Imla. Tahqiq. So I asked him, I say, all of you, who is the most learned now? Who can you call and say, okay, after our Sheikh Al-Albani, then we? He said, there is nobody. He said, because he knows, he stayed with him for 20 years, that if they combine their own knowledge, all of them, himself, Abu Ishaq Al-Khuwaini, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Haladi, and the rest of them, they combine all of them, they have not reached their teacher Al-Albani, rahmahullah. He told me this, Shafahan, in Makkah. He said, they have not reached him at all. He said, so they have a long way to go. So he is just around 50 now. Al-Albani died at 88. For over 65 years he was a scholar. 65 years. He was into full scholarship. His first work was about 17. Then he did another work that was published in about when he was about 22, 23. He died 88 years later. He died in the 88 years. I was 65, 66 years later. His first book that was published. Tahzir al-Sajid, Min Ittikhaz al-Kuburi Masajid, was written 65 years before he died. Sifatul Salat al-Nabi, was it not 1940-something that he wrote it? Sifatul Salat al-Nabi, that's now looking like a new book to us. Somebody was saying, Albani has wrote new thing. I say, you are the ignorant person, you didn't know. 1945, before they born you, Albani has wrote this book. Yes, and the person was not born by 1945. By 1945, that book had been existing. You are the one that is new to knowledge. You say Albani doing new thing. Which new thing? But Ibrubo was written in 1945. When he was saying that it is wrong for you to stand up from ruku and fold up your hands, what did he say? He said, for 40 years, you have been saying that being one hadith, you don't have hadith. When you stand up, don't fold your arms again in salah. He said, there is no hadith for it. If you do it, you are doing a bidah. You are innovating to Allah's deen, what is not from it. Because there is nothing in salah that does not have hadith. Wallahi. There is nothing in salah that does not have its own hadith. Salat. There is nothing in salat that does not have hadith. There is nothing in salat that does not have hadith. Even when you move in salat, you have hadith to prove it that you can move in salat. When you carry a baby in salat, you have hadith. When you drop your hand even in salat, you have hadith. Everything you are doing in salat, you have a hadith to do. You have a hadith that shows you that this is how you will do it. So he said, why this one does not have hadith? He said, for 40 years, I have been asking the scholars, produce one hadith. He said they didn't produce hadith. And when he made that, he lived for about 6 years again before he died. So add 6 to 40. And he died in 1992. This is 2011. 1999. This is 2011. Add how many? 99 to 2011. 6 years. Add it to 46. 52 years now we've been asking for hadith, no hadith. Half of a century. So people are authorities in their field. So why is it difficult to come in front of an authority? Because if you come in front of an authority, his knowledge will disgrace you, not him. Because you make statements that people now begin to say, you don't think well. See this now. So I'm sorry. If you still respect knowledge, or I know go green, then you become further disgraced. The Almighty Allah preserve us from goodness. So perhaps there will be one or two questions. Alaykum salam.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
is yes, it's permissible. If you do it with the intention of ittiba, you have the reward. Ulama said, because the Prophet Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي He said, see Rasulullah, everything about him. So if you have long hairs, you can do your hair as his own. You ask, why did you do your hair? They say, that's how the Prophet's hair is. You have reward for it. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. For you, unfortunately, you're a black man. You can't have hairs that will flow up your shoulder. Or can you have hairs that will flow up your shoulder? Now, for you to now go and start saying, okay, I go palm them now. I can leave my hair and then palm it and then start. You are going another boundaries that you have not been asked. More could lift that you have. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam.
Actually, I thought of Shikha. Do you know when they started?
I don't know when they started. He's asking, Silsilatul Huda wa Nuh. Abu Layla al-Asari, when did he start to record it? I will ask, inshallah. It's good to know it. That audio has over 7,000 cassettes. Audios of Sheikh Al-Ali, 7,000. There are some of it, if you listen to it, you think that Sheikh Al-Ali was a young man. And there are some of you, if you listen to it, like a man who will die tomorrow, like his audios on the Gulf War, you think that he's going to die tomorrow, the way he was just talking one after the other, like an old man. And I think those are from his awakhir, they are from the last comments that he gave. He was being asked, he said the Americans should not come to Saudi Arabia. That's his position until he died. He said if they come, they will not go out again. He said, if they come, they will not go out again. And this is how we are. They came and they are not going out again. How many years after? So someone came to tell him that Sheikh Bumbaz said they could go out. He said, that fatwa from my brother Bumbaz was wrong. He said, he quoted one hadith. He said, that hadith is weak. The hadith is in Muslim. The hadith of Abu Rasul. The hadith is weak. He started describing how the hadith is weak. That's Makullah. On the sick bed, if you hear, you know that he was sick. Just managing to talk. So, people like Tosa who say the scholars colluded, you should fear Allah. There are some of them who believe that America should not have gone there in the first place. Alaykum salam. I have so many things to say about the hadith. Tell me what you don't understand.
I mean, that you are saying that the hadith is the rule that it's not the weak hadith that that is not the weak hadith.
Which hadith?
And that one should not be put away standing.
Okay. The hadith is authentic. And it's not one. There are three, at least three of them. And most, about two or three of them, or the three of them are in Sahih Muslim. One or two in Bukhari. They are authentic narrations when they are in Kutub al-Sunan. Sheikh al-Albani declared them also authentic. So they are authentic ahadith. So let me pick from him. He is from amongst those who say that to drink while standing is prohibited, is haram. And he used the hadith of Abu Huraira also in Sahih Muslim. Of the person who was drinking, and the Prophet told him to vomit what he had drunk. He said the Prophet is Ra'ufun Rahim. If it is just makruh to drink water while standing, the Prophet will not tell a person to vomit what he had drunk. Then he also said that he asked somebody that you want the dogs to drink with you. That the Prophet does not speak like that except for something that is prohibited. He will not go on to say, start saying that you drink water while standing. You want the dogs to drink with you. This hadith on the dog drinking with somebody is also in Sahih Muslim. So he said, those zawajir, their siga is too qawi, is too strong for us to say that it is just makruh. The siga, the expressions, the way he expressed his disagreement with people who drank while standing, is too strong for us to say that it is just makruh. It meant that if we saw him, alayhi salatu salam, drinking always while standing, as was the case in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, it has a reason why it happened like that. And the reason is what is mentioned in that riwayah itself, that he went to the place where Zamzam is provided during the Hajj, and he collected the Zamzam and drank. People like Ali radiallahu anhu, who used this hadith to say, this is evidence that I can drink while standing. And Hajjatul Wida is one of the last things the Prophet did before he died. The other man said, yes, Hajjatul Wida, at that point, he said it, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that were it not that people will just gather around us now and cause disturbance around me, I would have also partook in giving people water as you are giving people water now. So people say, look, Hajjatul Wida, about 140,000 people made the Hajj. There's no way he could have sat down. And whatever he wanted to do, everybody wanted to do it. So that he did it because there is no way he could do other than drinking without standing. That if anybody is in a situation where he has to just drink standing, he should drink standing and go. He does not have a way of doing it except to drink while standing. Then he say, okay, that is darura, to cut darura, because there is. Other than that, he should drink while sitting down or squatting or something. That is also the position of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Don't forget, we are not saying that people have not said other things. So, but from what I have said, you would have known what I was referring to. Yeah, people said other things. Allahu Alam. Like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, if you read his share of Riyad al-Salihin, he is saying that it is makruh. But in some other places, in that same book, he will say that it is prohibited, haram, to drink while standing. Sheikh Uthaymeen. In his share of Riyad al-Salihin, he has two comments. Sometimes you say it is makruh, sometimes you say it is haram to drink while standing. Those zawajir, those statements prohibiting drinking while standing, if you really read them, once you face them, like, you think, God, this thing cannot be makruh. Allahu Alam. The reason why I mention that is that many times people think, oh, you are just telling us the opinion you have. You are not telling us other opinions. There are other opinions. But the issue is not to tell you something that I consider weak or unauthentic. It's not obligatory. What is obligatory to tell me is that I tell you what I consider authentic and the reason why I consider it authentic. Allahu Alam. That mu'akkada is what I don't know, but it is sunnah. Yes. The hadith is authentic. Alaykum as-salam. The last question, inshallah. We read it in Shamayil. Taban. We read it in Shamayil. It's sunnah to wear Taban anyway. It's sunnah to wear the Taban. The Prophet ﷺ wore Taban. The day he came into Makkah, the Fatah of Makkah, he was wearing Taban. Black him. So the black Taban he was wearing. The details of how he used to tie it, we read it in Shamayil, inshallah. So he used to also wear kina like this. The day he left Makkah on Hijra, he was wearing kina. Kharaja mutaqanni'an. The hadith is in Bukhari. And in his time, many of the companions also used to wear kina like this. Like Uthman ibn Affan. In fact, it was one of the things with which he described Uthman ibn Affan. The hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. While the Prophet was talking to some people, Uthman was passing by. He said there is going to be a lot of fitna, and the people who will be on the right is that man. A companion said, I rushed to go and see who is the man. He said, it was a man that was wearing kina. See, I opened the kina and I saw that it was Uthman ibn Affan. His kina, companions used to it. And then the Sahaba, those who came after him, like Imam Tawus ibn Kaysan, he described Imam Ahli Yemen. That he described as one of his students, said, Mara'atuhu illa mutaqanni'a. I never saw him except that he was wearing kina. So all of that is from the sunnah. Either Taban or kina. Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.